Hey, good evening, everybody. Someone told me it was getting confusing for them to hear me say tomorrow's daf is okay. So let's pretend we're already in tomorrow. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Pei Beis. We're going to start on the top of Daf Pei Beis of an Aleph at the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. The Mishnah is going to talk about at what age, and the ensuing Gemara until the next Mishnah, at what age children are supposed to fast on Yom Kippurim. Meaning, at what age do they start to fast L'Sha'os? Do we at least make them go a little bit into the day before breaking their fast? And at what age do they really fast? How many years before their bar or bas mitzvah? And then the next Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if a person, if a woman is pregnant and she feels that she needs to eat something, so at what point can we give her food to eat on Yom Kippur when she says that she needs the food? So that's going to begin the sugya of Pikuach Nefesh, and the Gemara is going to talk. Yuma Pei Beis is one of those places in Shas where we discuss Yahari Val Yavar, that the three big ones, the three Yahari Val Yavars, and what the source is for each of the three averos that are Yaharig Ve'al Ya'avar. So that will take up the bottom of Pei Beis Amin Aleph and into to Pei Beis Amin Beis, and which is very short. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Pei Beis Amin Aleph. So the halacha is just the background over here. When a boy turns 13, he becomes chayv in mitzvos. A girl turns 12, she becomes chayv in mitzvos, provided that there may be shtei sa'aros. So as long as they have shtei sa'aros, so they're physically there, then they become chayiv in mitzvos, including the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. Prior to that, there is certainly no chiyuv midaraisa. However, on a derabbanan level, we have a mitzvah of chinuch, and part of the mitzvah of chinuch is to be mechanich for fasting on Yom Kippur as well. So in order to get them used to the idea of fasting later on. In general, there is a lot of raid about the mitzvah of chinuch, what the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch is. Is the mitzvah of chinuch a mitzvah to get a child accustomed to the idea or to the habits of doing mitzvahs, so that when they become a bar mitzvah, because can you imagine on the Torah level, if a child their entire life they eat chazer and they don't do any mitzvahs, and then they become bar mitzvah and now you're chayiv in everything? It would be impossible. How could you flip a switch like that and just become everything? So the pashut pshat in the mitzvah of chinuch is to accustom them to living life like a Jew, so that when they become chayiv in mitzvahs, they'll be able to do it. The other possibility is that the mitzvah of chinuch is to train a child to volunteer mitzvos as an eino mitzvah v'yosa. You know, the Gemara tells us, gadol ha-mitzvah v'yosa yosa mimi she'eino mitzvah v'yosa, but an eino mitzvah v'yosa gets schar for a mitzvah as well. So when a child volunteers a mitzvah, so it would only be a volunteer mitzvah, it would be an eino mitzvah v'yosa, but the mitzvah of chinuch makes those volunteer mitzvos into a chiyuv midrabanan. The midrabanan were chayiv to have the child fulfill mitzvos midrabanan. Probably they're both true. Both elements of chinuch are true. Meaning, nafkamina would be, is there any chinuch for a lo sase? Meaning, there's no such thing as volunteering a lo sase. How could you volunteer to do, if you're not chayiv in the lo sase, so I happen to not be a kohen. So for me to volunteer not to become tummy to a mace has no mashmos. It doesn't mean anything. There's an issur for a kohen to be tummy to a mace. There's not an issur for me to become tummy to a mace. So it doesn't make sense to volunteer a lo sase. So, but to the extent that it's going to accustom a child to do something, then you still have that element of the mitzvah of chinuch. Or, for example, if you have a mitzvah that you hope that the child won't, you know, it's a once in a lifetime mitzvah. You know, it's going to be chinuch for birchas hachama, right? So you really need to accustom the child to birchas hachama. In 28 years, we should be so lucky, you should have another birchas hachama, hopefully another couple after that, you know, but it comes up every, such a long time. So then the lechora would not be about accustoming, you know, getting him accustomed to doing the mitzvahs, but as far as volunteering a mitzvah, volunteering to do something, that lechora would be included. So that's what this sugya is going to be about. At what point we accustom the child to fast on Yom HaKippurim. Oh, the other nafkamina would be, what if they don't fulfill the mitzvah? And this is very relevant to our sugya. What if they don't really fulfill the mitzvah? They just do it partially. I mean, they fast until 11 a.m. You know, so that's, they're used to eating breakfast at 7 a.m. and they fast until 11 a.m. Have you accomplished anything? Have you accomplished anything in the mitzvah of chinuch? Well, in terms of eino mitzvah v'yoseh, volunteering the mitzvah of inui, so they didn't really. They didn't do the mitzvah because the mitzvah is to fast the whole day. But in terms of getting them accustomed to a certain behavior, so it probably did accomplish something. in terms of getting them accustomed to a certain behavior. The impression that you get, you know, the Ritva writes in Maseches Sukkah that when performing the mitzvah of chinuch, let's say for dalim minim, that the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch is if you get the kid a kashra set of dalim minim, that apostle set of dalim minim, what they call in the stores when you go to buy dalim minim, they call a chinuch set. Very often is not a chinuch set. It's an anti chinuch set. It's when the child is not anti. It's when it's a pre chinuch set. When the child is not yet ready for chinuch, so this is a pasul set. But once the child is ready for chinuch, so then it should be a kasher dalaminim. That's probably because he's not only becoming accustomed to doing something, but he's volunteering the mitzvah as an eina mitzvah v'yoseh, and we just formalize it as a mitzvah midrabbanan to do the mitzvahs as an eina mitzvah v'yoseh. So anyway, without further ado, says the Mishnah, Hatinokos ein malinosun b'yom ha-kippurim. You don't have to stop a child from eating on Yom HaKippurim. Now, it is a little bit odd that we're in Maseches Yuma. We're already on Daf Pei Beis. Everything we've learned since Daf Beis has been about Yom HaKippurim. So I would figure out the topic, right? It probably doesn't have to say be Yom HaKippurim. The whole Masechta is about Yom HaKippurim. So Tos Yom HaKippurim explains that chinuch of children to be Mesanos is Dafka be Yom HaKippurim and not by Shar Tanios. And that's why the Mishnah is highlighting that you might try to make a tzushtel and say, oh, if there's such a din by Yom HaKippurim, so maybe there's a mitzvah to train a child to fast on Tisha B'Av and on Tzom Gedalia and Shavuos B'Tam. No, it's only by Yom HaKippur there's mitzvah of chinuch. When I asked Rav Shechter before my kids became bar mitzvah at what age they should start fasting, you know, there's so many different minhagim. Three fasts before the bar mitzvah, this, that, everyone's got different minhagim. So he said two Yom Kippurs before the bar mitzvah. I said, what about all the other fasts? No, there's no chinuch on the other fasts before the bar mitzvah. We're not ma'ana katanim for that. Two Yom Kippurs before the bar mitzvah. So my kids were fasting a little bit earlier than everybody else because everyone else was doing three fasts before the bar mitzvah, but they also weren't fasting anything else. They weren't fasting any of the other fasts before the bar mitzvah. And that really emerges from the sugya. We'll see in the Gemara today. So anyway, so ein malnason atinokus ein malnason yom kippurim aval mechanich malnason, but we're mechanich them to fast at least for several hours on Yom Kippur lifnei shana, when you get to the a year before the samach lepirkan, which is 2 years before they're actually a gadol, ulefnei shnatayim, and 2 years before samach lepirkan, which is 3 years before they're actually a gadol, bishvil shiragilim b'mitzvos, in order that they should be accustomed to fulfilling mitzvahs. So that you know, the Mishnah sort of spells out the inyan of chinuch of being misana a child for sha'os is only the Lahargilim b'mitzvos, as opposed to the other element of chinuch, to be an einam mitzvah v'yose, so that wouldn't apply to sha'os. A tiny sha'os is not fulfilling the mitzvah. So it's very meduyuk in the Mishnah that you're ma'ana them for a few hours in order that they should be regilin b'mitzvos, only that element of chinuch. The Tos Yishonah points out that it seems that there's a chinuch on tinokos based on that it's a little bit difficult. The Gemara in Yevama says in Daf Kuf Yudalid that a katan ochel nevelos ain't based in mitzvah la'afrisho. And if you have to be mechanich children, so kol shekin, you have to stop them from doing yisur. We'll get to girls, the difference between girls and boys later. But just in general, it sounds from here, you have to be mechanich children, they should be observant, they should be Torah observant. And yet, the Gemara in Yavama says that in basic mitzvah lafrish, you have to stop them from doing yisurim. They're eating nevelos, you can let them keep eating nevelos. So Tos Yishonim answers in the name of Blazer Mimitz that the din of chinuch is only shayuch by asiyas ha-mitzvos, not by hafrasha mi-isser. Inoy b'yom ha-kippurim is not hafrasha mi-isser because it's a kiyu mitzvah of i'inisim esnafsho seichem. Or, alternatively, he says, that the din chinuch is only on the father. Over there, in the Gemara Yivama says, ain't based in mitzvah lafrisho, but the father is mitzvah lafrisho, and this also talks to the chakira that we said before. That again, if it's a din in fulfilling mitzvah sasein, mitzvah yosei, would only make sense on mitzvah sasein, not a mitzvah lo sasei, but and it could be for Beis Din they only have that chiyuv of making sure that people do mitzvah saseh, that they're mekayim the mitzvah saseh. But as far as a father doing chinuch, he has to get the child accustomed to living life like a Jew, and that would apply even to mitzvahs lo saseh. Those are two separate chilukim Tosfos Shava makes, but maybe you could put them together in that way. So now says the Gemara, wait a second, how are we to understand this Mishnah? Hashtu b'pnei shnayim mechanchanu, if we say that 2 years before we're already mechanich them to be misana l'sha'os, so b'fnei shana mibayi, you need to tell me that a year before samach l'pirkan you have to be mechanich them l'sha'os. Samach l'chisalo kasha ha b'chala ha b'bari. Very simple. When the Mishnah says l'fnei shana, it's talking about a child of weaker constitution, a child who's a chala. But if you have a child that's a very healthy child and a robust, healthy, zaftig kid, so then you can already be mechanich them l'sha'os 2 years before. Again, 2 years before doesn't mean 2 years before mitzvah. 2 years before samach l'pirkan. 2 years before the year that they fast, the year before the bar mitzvah. So it depends on the overall health of the child. So now the Gemara says, well, not everyone agrees with Rav Chista about chinuch of children for fasting, and we're going to have to explain the Mishnah a little bit differently. Because Amar Rav Huna ben Shmona, a healthy child from the age of 8. Well, we sometimes when we talk about 8, it means in the 8th year. But over here, 8 means what we call 8. 8 years old. He's already in his 9th year of life, past his 8th birthday. So before 4 years before he gets to Gadlus, Uben Teisha, or a 9-year-old that is 3 years before Gadlus, Mechanchanoso, L'sha'os, they already start fasting a few hours in Yom Kippur. But Ben Eser, Uben Achasasrei, but if he's already 10 years old or 11 years old, Mashlim in Midrabanan, then they're Mashlim Midrabanan. Ben Shtemesrei, Mashlim Midaraisa. When they're 12 years old, they should complete the fast on the Daraisa level, Bitinokas. But that's all talking about a Tinokas. Rav Nachman Amar, Ben Teisha, Ben Eser, Mechanchanos al Shaos, Ben Achasasrei, Ben Shtemesrei, Mashlim Midrabanan, Ben Shloshesrei, Mashlim Midaraisa, Bitinok. Meaning, when we said that a 12-year-old fasts on the Daraisa level, that's talking about a little girl. When we say that a 13-year-old fasts on the Daraisa level, that's talking about a little boy. So Rav Nachman is not necessarily disagreeing with Rav Huna. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna seem to be on the same page. They're just talking about, Rav Huna was talking about a girl, Rav Nachman was talking about a boy. So he says a 9-year-old boy 4 years before the age of Godless, or a 10-year-old boy 3 years before the age of Godless, only fasts with Shatlus. But an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old in the last 2 years before the age of Godless, they fast the full fast Midrabanan. But only once they become Bar Mitzvah, then it's the full fast Midaraisa. So that's explicit in the Gemara, right? That the two Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah, you fast the full fast. That's the Mitzvah Midrabanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hashlam Midrabanan Laka, the Chamor never Mesakin, before a person reaches the age of Godless, to fast the whole day. No, the way it works is as follows. Ben Eser, Ben Achas Esrei, when you have a 10 or 11-year-old girl, Mechachos on the shows, Ben Shtem Esrei, but when she's 12 years old, Mashlim in Midaraisa, then she's going to have to fast on the Daraisa level. That's by a girl. And obviously for a boy, you'd say the same thing, that the 2 years before the Bar Mitzvah, he would fast a few Sha'os, and then when he's Bar Mitzvah, he's going to fast the full thing, Midaraisa. So now the Gemara says, really? How is Rabbi Yochanan going to be reconciled with our Mishnah? Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Hatinokas ein manoson biyom kippurim, avon lechanchanoson lefnei shana lefnei shtayim. That a tinokas, you're not supposed to be ma'an of them in Yom Kippur, but you should be mechanich them 1 or 2 years beforehand. So Bish, Lamar Rav Huna Rav Nachman, Rav Huna Rav Nachman made perfect sense because they hold that a healthy child you begin to be mechanich 4 years before the age of Godless. So you could say that the two zmanim that are mentioned in the Mishnah talk about someone who's a chola, where you begin a year later, 3 years before the age of godless. So l'fnei shana l'fnei shtayim, l'fnei shana l'divreihen, l'fnei shtayim l'divrei Torah. So when it says in the Mishnah l'fnei shana l'fnei shtayim, it means l'fnei shana l'divreihen, 2 years before that they should be mashlim the tainus midrabanan, and that year itself is l'fnei shtayim l'divrei Torah, is 2 years before, is 1 year before their mashlim midrabanan, is 2 years before their mashlim minat Torah. El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, holds that a tinokas is not mashlim at all, that a child before the age of bar bas mitzvah is not mashlim the fast at all. Kasha, how are you going to explain the Mishnah? You can't explain it like the way Rav Huna and Rav Nachman understood that the two zmanim that we're picking in the Mishnah are really one zman, and l'frei shana means a year before your mashlim midrabanan, and l'frei shtayim means that very same year, but 2 years before your mashlim on a daraisa level, because Rabbi Yochanan holds there's no such thing as being mashlim on the Rabbanan level. There's no such thing as the Rabbanan saying that that you have to fast the whole fast. And you also can't explain it the way Rav Chista said it, that the Mishnah is talking about one zman for a bari and another zman for a chola, because according to that, l'fnei shana l'fnei shnatayim means that you're mechanich 3 years for a bari and 2 years for a chola, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that you're mechanich 2 years for a bari and 1 year for a chola. So Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't fit any of the interpretations of the Mishnah. So says Mar Amar Lach Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that there's a difference between a bari and a chola. You can leave out the word lefnei in the Mishnah. It should say shana ushtayim samach lepirkan. And what the Mishnah means is that that year that samach lepirka on a tinok chola is the year that the very year that samach lepirkan, which means the year right before the bar mitzvah, is when a tinok chola is first going to be misana l'sha'os, and 2 years before the bar mitzvah is when a tinok bari is going to be misana. So now the Gemara challenges Rav Huna and Rav Nachman from a brisa. Tashma, the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Tinokos Ein Ma'an Noson B'Yom HaKippurim, Av Mechank Noson Noson Noshtayim Samach Lepirkan. That the brisa tells us that children, you're not Ma'an them in Yom Kippur, but you're Mechanich them 1 or 2 years Samach Lepirkan. So says Mar Bishlam of the Rabbi Yochanan, I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Chinuch L'Sha'us is 1 year before Godless for a Chola, and 2 years before Godless for a Bari, meaning let's translate that into a real terms. For a boy who's ill, who's of weaker constitution, he only even starts fasting half a day when he's 12, and for a boy who's healthy, he only starts even fasting half a day when he's 11. So nicha, that works very well. That's what the Brisa sounds like it's saying. El Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, but according to Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, that hold that Chinuch Shalos starts 3 years before the Zman of Gadlus for a Chola, and 4 years before the Zman of Gadlus for a Bari, meaning it's not when he's 11 or 12, it's when he's 9 or 10, depending on his makeup, depending on his constitution. So in Kasha, how are you going to explain the Brisa? So Amlach Rabbanan, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman would respond, my Chinuch Nami Dekatani, La Hashlama. When the Brisa is talking about Chinuch, it's not talking about Chinuch L'Sha'os, it's talking about chinuch to be mashal in the tainus. So yes, it's a year or two before the bar mitzvah that you are mechanich the child to be mashlim the tainus. Umi kari l'chinuch hashlama, says Gemara, wait, can you say that's what the Brisa means? That mechanich means to be mashlim the tainus? V'atanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us elsewhere that eze chinuch, what does it mean to be mechanich to fast? The definition of chinuch when it comes to inui is that if normally the kid eats 2 hours into the day, you delay breakfast by an hour. That's chinuch. Chinuch means l'shalosh. It doesn't mean to be mashlim. So Rav Barula, trei chinuch yavu. No, there are two types of chinuch. There's chinuch l'shalosh and there's chinuch to be mashlim the tainus. So this fits very nicely with the whole idea that we were saying before. Trei chinuch yavu. What do you mean trei chinuch? It's not two chinuch, it's the same chinuch. It's just the chinuch develops and it gets stronger as you get closer to the bar mitzvah. But based on what we were saying, we understand very well, it's actually tzvei dinim in chinuch. There's a din of chinuch l'shalos, which is not an einu mitzvah v'yelseh. It's just growing accustomed to behaving a certain way. And then being mashlim is a din of chinuch of an einu mitzvah v'yelseh. It's a much stronger din of chinuch. It's a different level of the din of chinuch. Now, the assumption of this entire discussion is that there, or it seems to be, that there's a chiyuv of chinuch on a daughter as well, not only on a son. However, there is a machlokas rishonim, what exactly the getter of the chiyuv of chinuch for a daughter is. Shita Mekubetzes, Meseches Nazir Dav Chaf Tes, writes in the name of many rishonim, Tos HaRash, Tos HaBein HaPeretz, that it's actually subject to machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish over there in Nazir, whether a person is chayuv in chinuch bito. That according to Reish Lakish, there is no chiyuv of chinuch bito. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the person is chayuv to be mechanech his daughter. So again, going back to our basic yesod, what does that possibly mean? How could anyone say you're not supposed to be mechanech your daughter? I remember Rav Asher Weiss in his Shir on Chinuch, in his piece on Chinuch, in Milchas Asher, had this dramatic way of explaining it. He said, can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing? That you raise a child for 12 years of their life and doing nothing? They're eating cheeseburgers for lunch every day? And that's it. It comes to the age of 12, no more Big Macs, you're dressing tzniel stick, everything just all at once. Impossible, it can't be. So perhaps what it means is that that saying that there's no mitzvah of chinuch, maybe is no mitzvah of chinuch as far as einum mitzvah v'yosa, but there's a mitzvah of chinuch lafrusha meyisura. They have to know that they can't eat cheeseburgers, that they're not allowed to do certain averos. Maybe something along those lines. The Ramban and the Ramban in the Melchamos in Maseches Yuma, and the Ran in Maseches Yuma say that the ikar chinuch is l'bno v'lo l'bito, and that's why they say you don't have to that's why they say that that the ikr chinuch is l'bno v'lo l'bito, and that's how they explain. According to them, you don't have to be mechanech daughters to be misanos unless it's the they reach the age that the boy would have to be misanos, even though the girl becomes a bas mitzvah before the boy becomes a bar mitzvah. Tos Yishanim and Tos Harash bring a raya from our sugya that only legabi nazirus there's no chinuch for a daughter, but for all the other mitzvahs of the Torah there obviously is chinuch, and that's what we pass on halacha. Of course, there's chinuch for a daughter. That's what the Magen Avraham paskins and Shemem Gimelas of the Prima Gadim writes, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Chayi Adam, Mishnah Brura, all the major poskim say there's chinuch for a daughter. What do you do with the Gemara? Nazir, it sounds like there's a major day in Amaran that there's no chinuch for a daughter. No chinuch for nazirus for a daughter. She shouldn't. You shouldn't be mechanicher and had to be a nazir. Generally, a woman can be a nazir. That used to be one of the questions of Shechter. Sometimes when guys apply to the kolel, it bothers him sometimes that people lack basic knowledge. You're applying to the kolel, you want to get paid to learn already, but they lack certain basic knowledge of pesukim and chumash. So one of the classic questions he used to ask, until everyone found out that he asked this question, so everyone's prepared for it, he used to ask, can a woman be a nazir? And guys would give a lumdus. They'd give, mitzvah shazman grama, or this and that, and it's really low sasat, whatever. They'd give a whole lumdus. And he says, the pasuk says in Parshas Naso, ish o isha, right? Ish o isha. So, it's pretty explicit that a woman is able to be a nazir, but there's no chinuch for a woman to be a nazir. Okay, so that's all it means, that there's no chinuch. Ramesh actually uses this in a tshuva. Ramesh in the Gris Moshe Yerdeichel Beisim Kuv Yud Gimel says, since la halacha were chayiv to be mechanich bito, and the chaladeo, so parents have to be mechanich the daughter to believe in Hashem and believe in the Torah and to not violate Yisurim. So if you can't be mechanicher in that way, then we're failing in our jobs as parents. He says, therefore, you cannot use Meiser money to pay for tuition, even for a daughter. Because the halacha is, Meiser money is only allowed to be used for things that you're not otherwise chayiv in. It's what you're only, you're giving it because it's tzedakah, because it's something that you wouldn't otherwise be chayiv in. But you are chayiv to be mechanich bito. You are chayiv to send your daughter to school. There is a discussion that if there is a chiyuv of chinuch for a daughter, why is there no baruch shepetrani by a daughter? When a girl becomes bas mitzvah, there's no baruch shepetrani. The truth is, pashup shad is, because we make the bracha kriyas haTorah, and the daughter's not there kriyas haTorah, she doesn't get an aliyah. That's the pashup shad. For whatever reason, it's a good kasha why, but for whatever reason, that bracha they incorporate by kriyas haTorah. Also, that bracha is not from Shas. It doesn't come from the Gemara, it comes from the Gaon, and it comes from later. So since that bracha, it's a medrash, since that bracha is not from Shas, whatever the minig is, they were knowing to say it, we say it. Whatever the minig is, they were knowing not to say it, so we don't say it. But some suggest that it relates to this idea that maybe the chinuch of a daughter is fundamentally different than the bracha of chinuch for a son. Okay, so now says the Mishnah, new Mishnah, Ubera she'iricha, Ubra she'iricha, if you have a woman who's pregnant, and she smells the tavshil in Yom Kippur, and through that she has a tremendous taiva to be able to eat, but it's Yom Kippur. So machilin asad shetashiv nafshi, you let her eat until she calms down, and the taiva goes away. Chola, if a person is sick and they need to eat in Yom Kippur, Machilin Osal Pibikin, you let them eat in based on the doctors telling you that the person needs to eat. If the doctor says it is taka dangerous, so then you let them eat. But if there are no doctors that can tell you if the person needs to eat, but the person says, I need to eat, then you machil them and you let them eat until they say, we assume that a person knows themselves very well. So if the person says they need to eat, then even if it doesn't seem to you like they need to eat, and they don't seem so sick, they don't seem deathly ill, you're still machil and osal until he says that he no longer needs to eat. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabban Uber Shiricha Basar Kodesh or Basar Chazir. If a pregnant woman smells Basar Kodesh or Chazir meat, which are Asa Bachila, and she feels like she needs to eat it, so Toch V'na Kush Berotav, we stick a stick in the sauce where the Basar was cooked, and they place it on her mouth a little bit in order to calm her down. If that does the trick, wonderful. But if it doesn't do the trick and she still has a taiva, then you start giving her the sauce itself, the gravy itself. If that works, okay, good. That's, Hatzala Porta. We didn't have to feed her the meat. But if it still doesn't work, they feed her the basar iser itself. And the reason that it's mutter to be machil the isha basar iser is because she'en l'chadavar shomid b'fnei pikuach nefesh. Chutz me'avod zar gil reizu shvichas danim. Because this is considered pikuach nefesh, and nothing gets in the way of pikuach nefesh except for the big three. The idea that nothing gets in the way of pikuach nefesh is derived from the pasuk "Shmartem es chukosai es mishpatei asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai b'hem." The pasuk says "v'chai b'hem." So Chazal Darshin, we're going to see on Daf Pei Hey, "v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamus b'hem," and that's why. And the reason for this is because Kodesh Baruch Hu places great value on Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael. Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael is more important than any mitzvah, right? If there's one thing that our poskim and our gedolim taught us over the last year and a half, it's the value of Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, that we're willing to forego all of the mitzvahs. I remember right before Corona, not right before Corona, after Corona had already started, but we were blissfully unaware that it had already started, but it was already raging in all of our communities. So we had a meeting, and a lot of the Rabbanim were saying, how can we shut down a shul? You can't shut down a shul. You can't stop Tefillah B'Tzibur. You know how powerful Tefillah B'Tzibur is? I remember our Rav Shechter saying, tears in his eyes, Tefillah B'Tzibur is so powerful. It's so important. I agree with everything all the other Rabbanim are saying. But Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael is more important, so we have to shut it down. And that was it. That's the end of the sentence. Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael. That's the most important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfos writes that it could be that even without the pasuk of V'chai Behem, we would not have a chiyuv to be Moser Nefesh. When it says V'chai Behem, it's so that we shouldn't learn from Shvichas Damim and Gilui Arayos to the other mitzvahs. Meaning, it's just that you would have been pulled in the other direction. That since I know that there are three Yahari Val Yavars, so I would have assumed that everything else is also Yahari Val Yavar just based on those other mitzvahs. So Minchas Chinuch explains that the svara is that the Torah is not chayiv you to be Moser Nefesh ba'ones, because what's a person supposed to do if he's not violating Avera purposely? So that's what the Tos is suggesting is, I don't need V'chai Behem to tell me not to die for a mitzvah. Svara is not to die for a mitzvah. The only reason I need V'chai Behem is because I know that there are some mitzvahs that I have to die for. So once I know there are some that I have to die for, now I need a pasuk to tell me, but not all the mitzvahs are that way. So says Gemara, how do I know about the big three? Avodah Zarah Minalan. From where do I see that Avodah Zarah is Yehoreg Va'al Ya'avor? D'tanya, Reb Lazar Omer, Reb Lazar Darshan's Psukim, that should be very familiar to us. Pasuk says, Va'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha U'B'chol Navshcha V'chol Ma'odecha. I remember I just came from Camp Aguda. I was with my Talmidim. We went to visit Rav Yisrael Reisman today. It's a thing that I like to do with my Talmidim, to try to expose them to a Talmud Chacham like him. And the last time we went to Camp Aguda, he only said one vart to the guys before they started asking questions, and that is that they're mispronouncing the first word of Kriya Shema. And if you could remember this one vart, you'll probably be Mekayim a Mitzvah Daraisa every day, several times a day for the rest of your life. So the difference between Mila El and Mila Ra, how it changes the meaning of the word on Via Hafta or Via Hafta. And that pasuk, the pasuk goes on to say that we're supposed to love Hashem, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshcha. nafshecha. So im namar b'chol nafshecha, if it says b'chol nafshecha, so lama namar b'chol ma'odecha. Why does it have to say that you have to love Hashem b'chol ma'odecha? You just say b'chol nafshecha. And I know that that of course, if I have to love Hashem with all my life, so of course I'll love Hashem with all my money. V'im namar b'chol ma'odecha, if it says b'chol ma'odecha, I have to give up all my money, lama namar b'chol nafshecha. It could have just said b'chol ma'odecha. Why does it have to say b'chol nafshecha? V'meila, I'll understand that I also have to be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So im yesh tcha adam shaguf v'chal gulav mimamonu l'kach nemru b'chal nafshecha, v'im yesh tcha adam shamonu chavlo migufo l'kach nemru b'chal mo'odecha. Why does it have to say both? Because different people have different attitudes, healthy or unhealthy, toward money. And if you have a person who values his life more than his money, so you're going to tell him that you have to give up all your money, but he's not going to know that he has to give up his life. If you have a person who values his money more than his life, you tell him he has to give up his life. Yeah, but that doesn't mean I have to give up all my money. So that's why, because there are people that are different from each other, that's why it has to say both. The Tosio Makipurim explains, it doesn't mean to say that there are people that actually like their money more than their life, and people that like their life more than their money. By every person, there's different situations where their guf is more chaviv, and different situations where their mamon is more chaviv. Meaning, a person who's very young, if you take away all of his money, he can go work for a living and figure out a way. He's still able-bodied, and he'll be able to be misparnes. And in that way, certainly gufo chaviv alav. But bizaknuso, if a person is too old to be able to work, if you take away all of his money, he's not going to be able to have any sort of parnas, and he's going to die of starvation. In such a situation, he might prefer to die a quick death than to die slowly and painfully of starvation. It's amazing that, I mean, you know, from a 21st century America perspective, that these are the discussions, you know, that that's what it meant to be, you know, we don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't experience that level of poverty, of the option of dying of starvation. But anyway, so that's what it means. So yesh l'cha adam, meaning that there are different people at any given time on the planet that would prefer to give up their lives, and certain people that would prefer to give up their money. So that's how I know that you have to, for avodah zarah, because it's avas Hashem, you have to give up everything. Gilei arayis shvichas dam minalan. How do I know that for gilei arayis shvichas dam you also have to give up your life? D'tanya, we learned it from a braisa. Revi Omer, pasuk tells us, by a nara murasa, if you have a girl who had erusin, a young girl who has erusin, 12-year-old girl that has erusin with a man, and then someone is ma'aniser. So the Torah tells us, you know, what probably in ancient times was a chiddush, that a lunara lo sasa davar, that a girl who gets raped, it's not her fault. If someone was ma'aniser, it's not her fault. Anus, rachmana patre. If a person was anus, so then they're patred, just because they were engaged in a ma'isa bia, but it was, she didn't do anything, she didn't do it on purpose. And the Torah says it in such an emphatic way that being a victim of ones is like being a victim of murder. That one person's going to come and kill you, that's like a person being ma'anis a person. So says Gemara, why would the Torah have to say it in such a theatrical way? What do I learn from Rotzeach to Naram Rasa? Why is the Torah making a direct hekish between the two? It sounds like it's telling me something from Rotzeach to Naram Rasa, but in fact it's telling me something from Naram Rasa to Rotzeach. The Gemara explains, Ma Naram Rasa Nitan Atzila Ben Avsho, it's telling me it did. That just like Naram Rasa, you're allowed to save her by killing the guy who's chasing after her. Afrotzeach, same is true by Rotzeach. You see someone chasing after another guy to kill him, you're allowed to save the victim from getting killed by killing the Rotzeach itself. Now, how do I know that you're allowed to save the Naram Rasa by killing the person? So that's the sugya in Sanhedrin Dafayin Gimel that's derived from the pasuk that says, Ki besada matza tzaka hanara ve'in moshiyala. So the Gemara's medaktik, that what does it say? It says that how did this happen to her? She cried out, ve'in moshiyala, and no one was there to save her. Hamashma, that if someone was there to save her, they have every right to save her, even if it means killing the man that's trying to be ma'aneser. So that we get from the pasuk by Naram Rasa. So we learn from the link between Naram Rasa and Rotzeach that if you see Reuven trying to kill Shimon, you can kill Reuven before he kills Shimon. So Ma Rotzeach, and if we say by Rotzeach that the halach is Yaharig Val Yavar, Afnaram Rasa Yaharig Val Yavar. So the Hekish goes to teach that as well, that just like Rotzeach Shayach. It's Yarek Val Yavar not to commit Ritzicha. So Narim Ras is also Yarek Val Yavar. That Gilei Arayos is also Yarek Val Yavar. It's Gilei Arayos because she's married. She's Urasa. So Gilei Arayos also becomes Yarek Val Yavar. So it says, well, wait, Rotzeach Gufemi Nalan. So you told me that, how do I know Avodah Zarah is Yarek Val Yavar? It's from the Pesukim of Kriya Shema. Good. How do I know Gilei Arayos is Yarek Val Yavar? I know that from the fact that Narim Rasa is derived from Rotzeach. One thing we left out. How do I know Rotzeach is Yarek Val Yavar? How do I know Ritzicha is Yarek Val Yavar? Ritzicha Gufa Minolan. Says Mar Svari. That's just a straight Svara. Do Dasal Kameh de Rabba, that someone once came to Rabba or Rabba, Amrli Mari Durai, he said that the Nachri, who's in charge of my village, said to me, Katle Laplanya, that I have to kill so and so, Vilo Katil Nulach, and if I don't do that, he's going to kill me. So the person wanted to know, what should I do? So Amrli, Niktalach, you get killed. But don't kill somebody else, because the heter to violate an aver in order to save a life is derived from the pasuk of v'chai behem, chazal darshan v'lo shiyamus behem. And the reason the Torah doesn't command you to be moser nefesh for kiyum mitzvos is because the nefesh achas miyisrael is more valuable than whatever mitzvah you think you're going to do. But when it's against another life, that's also nefesh achas miyisrael. So how do you know which nefesh achas miyisrael is more valuable than which? Some understand it's just a pashut asfar like that, meaning that since you don't know, both are nefesh Shachas Yisrael, and you don't know which one is more valuable. So Shevi Al Tasa. Others say no, it's more muchrach that nefesh. You're both a nefesh Shachas Yisrael, but if you kill the other person, you're also doing an avera. So the combination of the avera plus an ibud nefesh is a bigger loss than no avera and an ibud nefesh. If you don't kill the other person, there will be an ibud nefesh. It will be your own nefesh. If you do kill the other person, you'll do an avera plus nibu nefesh. So the combination of the two is clearly going to be worse than just the one. So you can't say that your life is more valuable. Who tells you your life is more valuable? Maybe the other guy's life is more valuable. Tosus points out famously that the svara works in the other direction also. You don't know that the other guy's life is more valuable. Maybe your life is more valuable. So if by being shave the altase and by doing nothing, the other guy's going to die and you'll stay alive, then you do that also. The Tosfos gives the example of being mashlicha v'alatinok, that they tell you, we're going to throw you on this baby to kill this baby, or we'll kill you. Either allow us to throw you on this baby or we'll kill you. Shevi al tasa. You allow yourself to be thrown because you don't know that the baby's life is more valuable than your own life. Since that's the svara for Yarek Val Yavar, it chaps a big nafkamina. There was a famous case that happened in Philadelphia many years ago, where there were two Siamese twins in the year Tufshin Lamed Zion, 1977, where there were Siamese twins that shared a heart. They didn't share, they each had a heart, but one of them had four ventricle heart, one of them had only two ventricle heart, and the doctor said that if they stay attached, they'll kill each other. So they need to detach them, but the only way to detach them was to kill the one with the two ventricle heart, who is leeching off of the other baby. That's the wrong word to use, but you know what I'm saying. That there was getting its chiyus from the other baby. So they had to kill that one baby in order to save the other baby. So they wanted to know, it was a frum person, it was a frum couple. So they wanted to know if they're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to kill the baby to save the other baby? So normally you're not allowed to commit ritzicha to save a life. Because my chazit, so Ramesha spent a lot of time. The mishpacha said he locked himself in his study for like days and just working on this shaila. It was a very intense time. But at the end of the day, what he said was my chazit applies over here, and my chazit means. My chazus means when everything is equal. But if clearly not everything is equal, that there is one whose dam is suma ktvei, then that's what you do. Then you take the one baby. Tragically, they both ended up dying. They killed the one baby to save the other one, and I think a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, the other one died of some infection or something from the surgery. Obviously, it was not a simple surgery. So tragically, they both ended up dying. But that was the famous case that Ramesh dealt with based on this svara of my chazus damididach Sumak Tfei. So it says Gemara a little bit weiter. Who brought the Archa? There was a woman who was pregnant that smelled some food and really needed to eat it. She was going to be maybe the Desakana. Also, the Kameh the Rebbe. So they came to Rebbe and they asked him what the din is. So I'm a little Zila Luchushala Dima de Kippuruhu. Go whisper in her ear that today's Yom Kippur. Maybe that alone will calm her down and will make her not want to eat. So Luchushala, they tried it. It worked. She was Mekabel. Kari Alei, Betara Metzarcha Bevet and Yidaticha. So Rebbe said about the baby that was in this woman's womb, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that before it comes out, the end of the Pasuk, the Vegomer over here is very important. Ubitarim Teitse Merechem Hiktashticha is the end of the Pasuk. That before you even came out of the Rechem, you've become holy. And who did that baby become? Nafak Mina, Rabbi Yochanan. The baby that was born was Rabbi Yochanan. So it was a pretty good guess by Rebbe that the baby was going to be someone special. There was another case of a woman that smelled food in Yom Kippur. Also, they asked Rabbi Chanina the Shailus. I'm a little choshila. Try to say something in her ear. Tell her it's Yom Kippur and maybe she'll calm down. It didn't work. She was not mekabel what they were telling her. So Kari Alei, so Rabbi Chanina said the pasuk that it says in Tehillim of Zuru Rishayim Mirechem, that Rishayim are made, far into Hashem already from the time that they're in the Rechem. So Nafak Mina Shabtai Otzar Peri, and the person who came out, that baby was Shabtai the Otzar HaPeros, the one who gathered the peros, because he used to gather together. He used to corner the market on peros when the peros were cheap, and he would take them all off the market. And once they're all off the market, he controlled the whole market. He could charge whatever he wanted for them. So that's not a Maisa Tzidkus. I just got a shayla the other day. Someone asked me that there's a product that normally sells for $3.50, but now you could sell it on the internet for $150. Is that a violation of Ona'a? So if that's the only one left, you have the only one people are paying $150. You know, sometimes you have these books that are banned or whatever, so they go up in price. You know, the making of a Gadol, first edition, I don't know, it goes up in price. So I just had a sneaky suspicion. I said to the guy, how many of this product do you own? He's like, oh, I bought 1,000 of them. Yeah, you bought the whole market. So that you're not allowed to do if you buy out the whole market in order to. So that's the Yishatay Atzaperos if you're buying out the whole market. But anyway, so we'll stop there. Everyone have a wonderful evening. And oh yeah, so tomorrow we're not going to do Shabbos is that. Bezer Hashem will aim for Motsoi Shabbos. Let's call it 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Motsoi Shabbos. That's what we'll do. Daf pay dollar. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Rebbe, how did Rabbi Reisman pronounce the hafta?
The hafta.
Right. He does. Yeah. He's very marked on that.
Yes.
That I know.